At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Hey, babe. Oh, I'm sorry. Mrs. Scissorhands. Do you have a minute?
Very funny.
I was going to ask you to scratch my back, but I guess it could have stayed in the other room.
These are in right now, okay? I am slain.
Slain what? A dragon? Because you glued swords to your fingers.
Well, it's your words that are cutting me.
Thank God you heal so quickly, Wolverine.
I'm not doing that.
What are you working on there? Are you assembling the other X-Men, or? I'm sorry, I don't poke fun, but you're nailing it.
There! Got it unlocked.
Good job, you really made your point.
Hey!
Oh, hey, watch it! You almost poked my eye out.
Are you intimidated by their ling? You're giving me the acryl ick. Beat it.
Well, if you need me, I'd say text me, but if that's too hard, you could just phone hold.
If you say one more thing...
Take those off. This is disgusting.
Your jealousies are longer than your legs, short king.
What is wrong with you?
He is being ridiculous.
Back in the studio from Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. The fabulous... Las Vegas had a little Trump there. Fabulous.
Nothing like it.
Thanks for coming. Nothing like it. We had a couple shows. Thanks for coming out. We had a great time. Good to be back. I partnered it up with a boys trip. Katie and Thomas, not in the studio today. They're coming back from a girls trip.
Where'd they go? Vegas?
30A. Vegas of...
just different hotel.
Yeah. The Vegas of the White South. This is what people call it.
As far away from China as possible.
Yeah. No fake demic there. I don't know if he ever called it that. We have a lot of good stories from Vegas. Fan videos, fun interview with the Chris Lane. Much more so. Enjoy this episode. Like, subscribe. Let's roll music.
Correct opinions. Correct opinions.
Right off the bat, Trey, we never got to debrief this. Did you see the fan? I think you took a picture with her son outside of the Friday show, and she looked exactly like Katie. Yeah, Clive's mom.
A lot of memorable moments of that. Because, yeah, a kid came up to me, real confident young man.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Introduced himself as Clive, which is kind of a cool name.
Yeah.
And then his mom did look quite a bit like Katie.
Yeah. It was very confusing.
Yeah, so it was very awkward. I'm sure you saw I went in for a kiss. And everyone was like, whoa, oh my gosh. Clive was upset. And
she said that one of the people kind of with us in the green room came up to her and said like, hey, so excited, little one.
Really?
Yeah. And so she's getting like her back rubbed and being like, thank you.
That's amazing.
It was like Jack's... people like whoever,
so, like his mom,
his mom or whatever.
Is Katie. Yeah, so, oh wow,
it was trippy though. I was like staring right. I went Mitch McConnell on her.
Yeah,
this is my son, Clive. You're not Katie.
No, confused.
You don't have Katie's freckle.
Yeah,
spin around. I knew it.
I could tell from the back. That's not her. That was wild.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
We had some great. Shows, you've heard us talk about casino shows, you never know. Very pleasantly surprised.
They were fun.
Fun. Red Rock, we played there again. I've been going there for years with my buddies. They always take care of us. Yeah. Love the people there. Really cool to have. I've been going to Red Rock. That's my fourth year in a row to spend time at Red Rock Casino.
That's pretty sweet.
It's kind of fun.
That's a fun relationship.
Love the people there. It was like you out by the pool and the same bartender girls.
Yeah,
like,
that's fun.
Love the show. Yeah. But the... dealers apparently are all new because we met some new dealers. They didn't we got a beef with one of the dealers. I'll say that for the triggered segment.
Okay.
Later. Okay. I'm excited to tell that story.
Here's something I feel like I was.
Dude, I touched your foot again. Why am I getting active over there?
Katie's out of town. Yeah. I get it.
It's been a few days.
So Red Rock, very good to us, very nice to us. They give my key card to get in my room is a VIP key card. I think the room is very normal, but we all get these VIP key cards and have VIP elevators.
That's right.
I am by far the most stuck up version of myself when you give me VIP elevator access.
Yes.
I feel like I look down on people. I see them take a right when I go left. I think,
pfft. Oh, I did that. Yeah, they're across from each other and you watch people go to the non-VIP and you're like,
too bad.
Oh my God, you're sleeping on the floor somewhere? Embarrassing.
Are you guys familiar with like the Stanford prison experiment or whatever?
Yeah.
I feel like I was feeling that. I was like, I'm in charge. And these people are lower class citizens than I am. Fully above them. I accidentally took the regular elevator one time. And I was disgusted. I went back and took a shower. Oh,
it smells.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gross.
Took a shower.
It was weird how it affected me. And then I would take the VIP elevator. And yeah, you're saying like, man, it was so nice. I'd go to the pool. I'd see the same bartenders. I've been here last year.
You just went up and down all day?
Yeah. Well, I was like, Red Rock, I remember they have Panda Express. And I knew it. They did. I went right to it. So
they also have Wingstop, which I got after.
Yeah. They have a lot of good stuff.
Man. We did a nice steak dinner, too. Mm-hmm. One of the better steaks I've had in a while. We had a tour manager, Tom, did not like his steak. Have you heard this story?
Okay. So someone was telling me, they're like, it was the most awkward thing.
Did he finish this one this time?
No. Tour manager, Tom, he's never met a steak he likes. Never met a steak he likes. So it's fun to go to steakhouse with him. Because you'll know without a doubt, they'll be like, how's the steak? And he'll give his opinions.
Everyone else is like, good, thank you. It was awesome. He's just being polite.
Uh-huh.
What did he do this time?
It was just they for whatever reason, his specific steak, they sliced up for him.
Okay.
He's like, what am I, 3 years old? Why'd you cut this up?
I would love that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't have to cut it.
But
he was upset about it.
He didn't like that, yeah. So that was pretty great. He was fired up.
Did he tell them right when they brought it out, or did he wait till like the check?
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was pretty immediate. Yeah. It's funny. You know, I had a lot of guys laughing, and then kind of like, you know, or just maybe eat it. But he's like, no. But I think by principle, he's like, I'm not eating it.
So he just looked at it while you guys ate steak.
No, mine was good. Oh man, I love steak. Yeah, Red Rock takes care of us. Great time. Get tickets. We're about to head back out for a busy rest of the year. So treykeenan.com/tour. I tried some of the new bits we threw at the recties at the live.
Yeah. We both did, which is fun.
And yeah, finding some new stuff. So shout out the live podcast. Y'all helping us work on new material.
Yeah.
That I enjoyed telling, that people really enjoyed listening to as well.
I tried a 9/11 joke. Just figured, hey, it's Vegas. It doesn't really matter. So
yeah, everything. Yeah, those people love stuff like that. How'd it go?
It went not bad. It was, it went all right.
Yeah.
6 out of 10. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
But
9 out of 11. okay. we had a blast. And let's just, you know what? Screw it. Let's get to triggered early.
Okay. Yeah. Just go for it.
Because I just want to. This is also this is a combo segment. It's also Good Ranchers beef. Because I was triggered because I got beef with the blackjack dealer.
Beef of the week.
Beef of the week, sponsored by Good Ranchers.
Okay.
Yes, this segment, I'm so good at talking, is sponsored by...
Yes.
Yes, Good Ranchers beef. Okay, Good Ranchers. It's back to school time, folks. Didn't turn out to be the load off your mind you thought it would be, did it? Huh? Still got all soccer practice, science fairs, homework. Come on. What happened to summer? Now this is a too much work. Boo. Well, the good news is you can take your mind off of one big thing, and that's by putting great meat on your plate with Good Ranchers. Subscribe and use our code FAMILYMAN for $25 off your box at goodranchers.com and get free ground beef for 2 years. Good Ranchers now sends me meat every month.
Whew.
Holy cow. It's such a nice thing, because we buy meat, and you know, it's weird. You only have weird like farm-raised stuff or antibiotics. It's like, I got my meat in the freezer, ready to rock.
Mm-hmm.
Good Ranchers sends it every year. They have local farms sourcing the best 100% American beef, chicken, pork, and now wild caught seafood.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Katie's having a cow. because she doesn't eat cow. She eats seafood.
She would eat a manatee, which is the cow of the sea.
Mm,
but they don't sell that yet.
Okay. Good ranchers. Get the manatees. They're super easy to hunt, I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Also, right now, when you subscribe to any box with Good Ranchers, you'll get that two years of free ground beef. That's 144 free meals in Good Ranchers tab. It's time to get the real back to school basic. So, once again, $25 off your box at goodranchers.com with our code FAMILYMAN. Go to goodranchers.com and use our code FAMILYMAN to claim $25 off plus free ground beef for 2 years on your order of 100% American meat and seafood.
And Good Ranchers price lock guarantee is leaving October 6th as well. So subscribe today to lock in your price until 2025, inflation-proof your budget before October 6th with Good Ranchers.
Good Ranchers, American meat delivered. Screw Hamid, dude.
Okay.
Was that, I want to,
is this part of the 9/11 thing again? Or is this,
I wonder, I do want to pronounce it correctly.
Hamed.
Because I'm respectful, even though it means, Hamid means, is a boy's name of Arabic origin. It means praised and loving.
Hmm. Is that what the story's about?
He didn't really embody that, in my opinion. So here, I want to, What do you, is it hum? An ad on this, like, how to pronounce it. Someone's going to.
The following pronunciation is brought to you by pronouncenames.com.
Well, they've got two.
They whoa, they get a plug and everything? It's a minute long.
Hamid.
Hamid.
Apologies. Hamid. He was one of the dealers. And you're just playing blackjack, and the best thing ever is like we have a whole table, so we have all like six seats or whatever, our buddies, and we're just having a good time, you know, whatever. And you know, they could tell we're having fun, so a lot of dealers, they're chatting it up with you, you know, they want to be your friend.
I would say for context, yeah, the dealer is always like you're playing against the dealer, but personality wise, they're always cheering for you.
They want you to win because then you would tip them.
Exactly.
No, if you're losing, you're not gonna tip them. You're like, already losing.
Dealers are always on your side.
This guy didn't give a crap. I mean, he just wasn't even trying. And he was actively getting like annoyed with us. And he was like, so, you know, I have a couple buddies who are real, you know, big personalities, and we would like win. We'd all be like, yeah, you know, let's go. And then when we lose, he'd go, oh, let's go. He started mocking us. And then, so I was really giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, maybe, you know, it's Hamid. He's, you know, he's a very thick accent.
He's trying to be praising and loving.
Maybe he's trying to, maybe that's how they do it in their culture. This is mock. I thought I was giving the benefit of the doubt. He's maybe trying to banter a little bit, you know.
Okay. Try to be one of the boys.
Be one of the boys, roast us a little bit. Okay. But he keeps doing it. And it's starting to seem spiteful, you know. We'd be like, we would do, you know, a chant and we'd lose and he'd be like, no, let's go this time. No, let's go. We're kind of, and we were looking at each other like, what is he saying?
Jeez.
And then he'd been doing this for like an hour. We were like, kind of like, okay, this is weird. And then the final straw, I bet like a larger amount than I typically would. I was like, oh, hey, yo, fun. And I had some like heartbreaking bad loss.
Dang.
And I kind of was like, oh man. And I kind of put my, you know, head in my hands. Oh man. And he goes, he looks at me, he goes, oh. And like, I kind of pause for a second. And I go, I just looked in my eyes. I was like, screw you, man. And then he's like, you watch how you talk to me. And we got in an altercation. And my friends would be like, yo, Trey, easy, easy. I was like, he just looked me right in my face. He was like, oh, boo hoo.
After you lost a considerable amount of money.
A good amount of money on a bad hand where I was like, oh, man, you know, just innocent fun. And he's like, oh, boo. He did that to me.
He's like, hey, watch how you talk to people. You know, we have feelings, okay? They could be hurt. You're like, yeah, I know.
And it was like, so we kind of went back and forth a little bit. I'm like, dude, what? Screw you, man. What are you doing? And the guy's like, you watch how you talk to me. I'm like, watch how you talking to me? You know. And it got awkward. And then my friend's like, yo, it's fine. And then he didn't say a word the rest of the time. So
really,
I guess maybe he just wanted to fight someone or like, it was weird.
I'm surprised they didn't just like have him leave. So he just kept dealing for you guys even after that.
And it's like, you know, we've been going to Red Rock for years. I know the main guy. I'm proud I don't do this. So I was like, you see how easy Karens could do it? I'd be like, I know the guy who runs the place. I can tell him about you.
I know Mr. Red Rock.
Yeah. How about that? Rock you right in the red. I didn't do that. I'm like, whatever. I mean, I'm sure I don't feel like he'll last that long if this isn't a great customer experience, but That was just like, it was one thing to kind of mock us a little bit. Let's go. You know, you're like, okay. But to look over at me and go, boo-hoo, like,
I've
never been that disrespected by a stranger to my face in my life.
Yeah, openly mocked in like a closed environment like that, like one-on-one, 12 inches away.
Oh, and the worst part too is another guy came up who was also Arabic looking, and they started speaking a language back and forth. And I was like, he's saying such mean things about us, for sure.
That is a isolating feeling.
So that was my trigger, getting humiliated by a blackjack dealer. So,
you ever think about calling him a brown jack dealer?
Maybe that was the problem. Maybe I should be more sensitive.
Yeah, maybe that's what set him off.
That's what set him
off. You sat down. If we were to go back and look at it, I think you sat down and you go, excited to play some blackjack. And he did not like that. I think that you got to be more careful.
Thank you, man. I always count on you you're very empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
I dare I say your name could be Hamid.
Praising and loving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of notable people from the weekend, did you hear that Isaac and I saw Draymond Green?
No!
Yeah.
NBA All-Star Draymond Green?
Yeah, like
at
9
Red Rock? Off.
No, this was at just the Las Vegas airport, just in baggage claim. We just walked right by him.
And were people leaving him alone?
Yeah. He was one of the like Golden State Warriors coaches.
Huge, right?
He was. He was. Yeah, because in the NBA, he's like very undersized for his position. But in baggage claim, he's still very oversized.
He's balling in baggage claim.
Yeah, but I mean, he had his hood up, sunglasses on, and like head down. But I feel like I was just like staring at him because we just walked by each other. And Isaac was staring at him. We were like, that was Draymond Green. He's like, yeah, that's Draymond Green. Like 100%. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I've never seen like an NBA person before, much less a nine-time
You've
All-Star.
Never met an NBA player? Never came across one?
I don't think so. I went to an NBA game and I saw tons of them, but never like at the airport.
Never like Panda Express.
Yeah, no.
Have I? Yeah, I was on a flight with Trae Young once.
Oh, Oklahoma boys.
LA to Oklahoma City.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Makes sense.
Yeah, they both visited home.
He was in first class and appeared his girlfriend was in Economy Plus, where I was. I definitely saw them together, interact together. He sat down first class and she sat on Comedy Plus.
Huh.
No, I take that back. Sorry, Trey. It was vice versa.
Wait, really?
It was.
He sat next to you?
Not directly, but like maybe a row over and up. So it's clear that maybe they couldn't get to first class.
So he gave it to her. Wow. Trey's of the
world. He's also a very small man. Like even in real, I'm bigger than him.
Yeah. He doesn't need a bigger seat.
Which is crazy is that good at basketball.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's the one. But that's not a fun one because I want to see like a giant.
Yeah, it's fun
and
to see a giant.
He's just kind of like a not the cutest little guy.
I did.
Beautiful stroke.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful jumper.
From like the shoulder down, it's very pretty.
Yeah.
Like when he does this.
Just the arms.
He's got good arms.
For sure.
One time in Branson, I ran into the entire Harlem Globetrotters team. I guess they were like that's doing fun. A show there. And they were wearing the gear, like the pinstripe red and white pants, and just like clearly.
Were they doing tricks?
No, they were just walking, just like shopping.
But do they walk even like creatively?
Yeah, they're kind of walking and like behind
just
the
like
other person.
Jump, it's a guy would jump over a guy's shoulder.
And anyway, we ended up kind of being at the same place, waiting for the same thing. And I was just like, I kind of looked him up and I was like, what do you guys do? I feel like it was a nice change of pace for them.
Yeah.
What's with the outfits? What's going on here?
Coincidence, sir?
I hate when that happens. Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all wear the same thing. Wow. And you're 6'9". That's a bummer.
I did give, speaking of matching shirts, I made Vegas shirts for all my friends. I've been wanting to do that for years and hadn't got around to it.
Like you're going on a cruise.
Yeah.
Porting out of Louisiana.
Like a dad on like a family trip. Derek made them for me. 6th annual. And on the back,
awesome.
On the back, it says it's a bad day to be a blackjack table, which is so that. Obnoxious. I mean, I showed Katie this, and she was appalled. But
that sometimes I've learned in marriage. Sometimes if the wife is like, "Oh my gosh, you're doing something right,"
right? Like yeah, yeah. And of course they got a kick out of it. But also none of them ever wore it the weekend. It is a shirt that's embarrassing to wear, which I kind of knew, but I still was like, "Come on, guys!" And we did the last time we were there. A couple of us warmed down there and. We did finally at the very end where I was just like cashing in my chips. The guy behind me was like, bad day to be a blackjack table, huh? Kind of finally commented on it.
Let's go.
Yeah. Pretty cool shirt I found, huh? I made it. And yeah, detail too is it's an ace playing card. Derek designed this with the demon, the purple demon emoji. instead of like in the clubs or whatever.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Good.
It's like an emoji playing card. I thought that was a nice touch.
That's nice. You're going to be wearing that for years.
Pretty obnoxious shirt, yep. But
what I think that's fun. I think more people need to make custom shirts for like weekend events. Rachel made, was it Rachel or my sister? Get them confused.
Both so pretty. Am I right?
I'm pretty sure it was Rachel, but my sister was a bridesmaid. Could be. Anyway, she made bachelorette t-shirts for all of them. And your t-shirt was a picture of that specific bridesmaid wearing like their prom dress, like just a photo of them from Facebook, like junior year of prom.
Just an old embarrassing Facebook photo.
Yeah, just like the entire shirt. It's just like them like from 10 years ago.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah, I feel like they really enjoyed it.
That's a fun idea.
More custom t-shirts.
More custom t-shirts. Get it out there. Okay, what I want to touch on this. There's a rogue airplane flying around the skies of the East Coast.
This is a classic. Didn't click on the article, but saw the headline. I was like, that's plenty.
It's just like a pilot had to eject. He's fine, parachuted out, and the plane is just flying around on autopilot, like a Roomba of the skies. And the government's just like, it's like a lost dog. They're like, call us if you see it up there.
Just any info would be great. It's a F-35. You know what? Any plane flying around kind of just on its own.
A little wonky.
That's probably ours.
Call us. Oh, no clue how we're going to get it.
I don't know the altitude really. You'd think we'd build radar and things. We didn't.
We did.
So just if you see one, let us know.
Yeah, wait until the battery dies. But
we're afraid to turn it off and turn it back on again. We don't know how quickly it'll reboot. So just text us if you see one. We'll check it out.
Let us know. How big of a danger is this? Could this careen into things?
Yeah, what are we talking, Derek? Where did this happen?
It was over at where we're going to be performing in a few weeks, North Charleston.
Oh, really?
But we're not there for like, we're not there next weekend. Are we there next weekend?
No, I think it's like a week and a half.
Oh.
Next weekend's Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, the next weekend we're out. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I hope it crashes into something before then. What a show, though.
The joke opportunity.
What is up, Baltimore? There it is.
Well, you found it. If only, yeah. Did they try this with the Malaysian plane back in the day in like 2013? Did they try the like, hey, text us if you see it policy?
No, they didn't.
I think they were like, hey, we'll find it. It's somewhere
in
the ocean.
Too proud. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They learn.
Yeah. Learn from the Marines in Charleston. Just put out an Amber Alert for a billion-dollar plane.
What are the updates, Derek? That's just.
Should be down by now, right?
2 hours ago, the United States military has said search teams are still looking for a missing F-35 jet. That's search team's hilarious.
Search
like they're going on arm by arm, like it's a missing child. Like, all right, they're going through the woods.
They're just stapling signs everywhere. We can't.
Lost plane.
This isn't a thing that's common, right? This has never happened before?
I've never
a plane
heard of it
on the loose?
Why did he eject?
Technology's getting too much. Oh, I'll give it a good example how technology's too much and how it's going to get scary. Do you see how MGM Resorts was hacked?
Yeah. When we were there.
Massive cyber hack attack for MGM Resorts, which is like half of Vegas, kind of.
Yeah, everybody.
And of course, it's one of the hotels we're staying in when we first got there with me and some of my friends. And we had just missed it by a day, thank goodness, because they had to shut down their whole system and network, which means everything's digital, like the rooms, the cards, all on like a digital computer. And so people's rooms were just locked out and like you couldn't.
Yeah, I heard it was like pen and paper.
It's not like an actual key. They had to. And so when we signed in, it was like a guy writing it down on pen and paper. When we checked out, pen and paper, and it, thank goodness we got there. Still an aftermath, long line for check-in. And they're doing it by pen and paper. And some guy working there came up to me and was like, huge fan. He said, follow me, man. He took us right into the VIP.
Wow.
Which there's only like five people in front of us in VIP, and it took us 20 minutes to check in.
Jeez.
I think it might have taken us 2 hours.
Did you get VIP elevators?
No, they're all not working.
That's all I care about. That's all I want.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Billy at Mandalay Bay. We got we stayed there one night early just to have some fun. I was like, Hannah, find the cheapest, like nice room. It was Mandalay Bay. And I didn't put two together. Remember what happened there?
The parking lot concert.
Yeah, so cheap.
That the prices went down.
And it's like weird because we're definitely in a room that I feel like, what? Which room was it? They never revealed that, did they? Did they?
They didn't tell me.
Gosh, could you imagine if we stayed in the room?
How would you know?
I don't know. I don't know if that's out there, but we were in a. He definitely did it in a suite. We were in a suite.
Wow.
And it's definitely that we had a good look. It was definitely one of the ones. I don't know what we were on the right floor though. Do you just put that room out for sale, or do you just kind of wall it off and call it like we're done with this room?
I feel like hotels in general are very suspicious people anyway. Like you notice hotels don't have a 13th floor most of the time. Red Rocks didn't. So I feel like they're not taking any chances. Hotels definitely believe in ghosts.
But I think they just keep putting them out.
What floor are you on?
Do you know which room it was?
I know at least what floor.
What floor?
Yeah, 32nd.
No, we weren't that. No, we're like 17 or something. I had a friend whose dad worked in hotels. He made a good point. He's like, sadly, that's like a kind of a go-to for people who want to end unalive themselves is to just get a hotel room.
Interesting.
And so if you like run hotels, you have to deal with that.
Oh my gosh.
And you have to just, I guess, clean it and get it back out there for sale. That's a tough business. Hotels, that's that video we made that blew up so well. If you really stop and think about a hotel room, I think that's why that video went viral. Because no one ever wants to stop and literally think about a hotel room. How many thousands of people have laid on this bed, done the Lord knows what in this bed, done horrible things in this room. I mean, I don't know how we as humans are okay with it, really.
But
we do it.
Yeah, there is something nice about a hotel. I feel like I enjoyed it this weekend. Like, I've become so used to traveling with Airbnbs or whatever, but like I went back into the room the next morning and like my bed was made. And it was like so taut and new pillows and new towels. And it's like, man, that goes a long way.
Nice.
New bar of soap. I didn't need a new bar. I'm not going to use an entire bar of soap in one day here.
Yeah.
But that's still so great. Now I can unpackage a new bar. And like the little ribbed part is so ribbed.
I love Vegas. They really, it's a customer service out there.
Yeah.
We did the, for NFL Sunday, we got this cabana thing at this pool. For all of us, we're just going to watch football at the pool all day. And to rent this thing, you have to meet a minimum spend. Like, you have to at least buy this amount of food and drink.
You have to have lost $2,000 to Hamid.
Yes. And this happens a lot to me and my buddies in Vegas. Because you look at a group of guys that look like us. It's a certain vibe. But we're there, and we get there like, okay, we'll get some waters, we get some food and some drinks. And we've been there for several hours. She's really come back in there. He goes, do you want some shots? We'll do some shots. And we're like, it's like 10 in the morning, just relax. Mm-hmm. And she's really, coming in and out. You see, she's pretty active at the other cabana she's waiting on.
Okay.
She finally comes in and she's like, okay, you're not even halfway to. She started kind of getting frustrated, like making fun of us. She's not even halfway to the thing. I'm like, what are the other ones you're working on? What have they spent? She's like, they've all spent at least like 10 grand and you spent like $1,200. I'm like, what? What are we supposed to buy? What are they doing? You should respect how responsible we are.
They're making us look bad. Are they buying shares in the company? How are they doing this?
What are they buying? And it was funny because we were there at the end of the day and they're like, well, you still have like $700 to spend.
This is like you go to Dave and Buster's and you have more all right, I'll take the fun dip, I guess. I wasn't going to get the fun dip.
The only group of guys who's ever been here and like struggled with this. We were like, on the back of the menu, there was merch. And we were this close to being like, do we all just get a hat? Like, I don't want to eat or drink anymore.
That's pretty funny.
And so we finally just kind of bought like a this or that to get there and didn't even really use it.
You're all thinking
so
like,
funny.
All right, 24 hours now, I've flown back to Kansas City. What food would still be good? What's going to hold well on an airplane? How's the artichoke dip too?
We just felt like we were eating so much and had plenty of drinks. We're like, how are they spending 10 grand? What are they possibly consuming over there? Are they walking? It was, we'll go there. And when the guy running Red Rock who set up the shows came to say hello, he walked up on us doing a breath holding competition. I came to with my buddy tapping me as I was like,
Mr. Red Rock.
Mr. Red Rock. Hi. We're just doing Vegas guy stuff. Where the girls at? So
how did the breath holding competition go?
I got second place.
That's not bad. Yeah, used to really run and bike. So,
yeah, we had a guy go almost 2 minutes.
Oh, good for him.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I did like 90 seconds, which I was really impressed with.
2 minutes. Good for him.
Like a Coast Guard diver or something like that?
Yeah, no, man. I don't know.
He should be looking for the airplane.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's get to today's interview. Chris Lane, country music singer. If you don't know him, you should. He's got some big hits out there, like Big, Big Plans. He's married to Lauren Bushnell, who is one of America's favorites on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And who I weirdly hung out with at Coachella. Shout out McDonald's.
Shout out.
And I've hung out with Chris several times. So we have some weird connections. So Chris is a great guy. Had him on the pod. He has new music coming out soon.
He's got a great laugh.
Great laugh. So you'll love this interview. Please enjoy this this chat we had with Chris Lane. Anything specific, dude, you want to like promo or talk about or just kind of chop it up?
I mean, we could talk about my drug problem that I had back when I first got into Nashville.
Okay, nice. Yeah, yeah. Get deep into that. Okay, okay. Derek, we go.
No, listen to the...
Oh, what? Here, we're going? Okay. What's up, Chris? What were we saying?
Speaking of that, so I was obviously being funny. Never had a drug problem in my life.
Okay, that's good.
But I was out on tour with Rascal Flatts years and years ago, and one of the things that they would do before shows during their interviews is tell a story about me to the radio station that they were being interviewed by. And they would basically tell them, you know, we're so proud to have Chris out here on the road. You know, his story is amazing. You know, he had a really bad meth addiction and he was able to outkick that. So this story starts floating around about me having a meth addiction. And I'm like, how the heck did we get here?
That's hilarious. I didn't know that.
We got to start turning it on Rascal Flatts now. Every podcast episode, we just start leaking fake Rascal Flatts info.
Yeah. It's time to, now you're,
let's do it.
They're retired, man. And you're up. Yeah. Now you have the mic. You got to roast them. Rascal Flatts is like my absolute favorite growing up. That was what I was raised on, man. I didn't know you toured with them. What were they like?
Trey, maybe we should be the two individuals solely responsible for bringing Rascal Flatts out of retirement.
Yes, I would do it. Dude, when they were doing that farewell tour and COVID ruined it, and I was ready to go, man. And I'm so bummed I missed that.
I had the direct support slot on that tour. I had so much fun with them on the first tour around. They asked me to come out and do their farewell tour.
You were doing
the
farewell
direct
tour.
Support.
Oh my gosh,
me, no,
bro.
I felt incredibly screwed by COVID, not only because of that, but yeah, then they retired and who knows if they'll ever tour again.
Dadgummit. I didn't know that. That would have been a very fun night. See that in Kansas.
Oh my
City.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah. And on top of, yeah, you miss out on these shows. COVID is happening. You got nothing to do. You're going to run back to the meth pipe. You know,
yeah,
what else
right.
is there? That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Did lots of meth during COVID.
Yeah, yeah. Got me through.
Yeah, we all had something. Puzzles.
Well, thanks for coming on the pod, Chris. Chris Lane.
Heck
his
yeah.
new song out, which I've been jamming to. I like it. Find Another Bar.
Appreciate it, bro. Thank you, man.
Yeah, man. So y'all check that out. And Chris and I weirdly go way back. Do you remember this? I don't know if I've mentioned this to you in a while. This was like 2017. It's crazy how old we're getting and stuff. But I was at a country music awards doing something with like an influencer thing. I used to like some agencies got wind that I was like the only social media famous kid from Oklahoma. And I was going to country music show after country music show. Like it's like I grew up a real kind of city boy in Oklahoma. But I think they were just like this, I mean, get this guy every country music thing out there.
Oklahoma.
And I was on the red carpet interviewing country singers, which was like,
wow.
I mean, that was my real first experience, like any kind of like red carpet kind of thrown to the wolves. I was talking to Maren Morris and also John Party and all this. And you walked by. I remember you had on it was like a loud paisley suit or something like that, just dripped out, and you ran up to me and said like, dude, I love your videos and all that, and we met. Do you remember that?
I do. I was a huge fan. I do remember that night. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. So yeah, I was,
that's a good throwback.
I want to say thanks because that definitely helps gas me up a little bit, because I was talking to these people and, you know, of course, why would they know who I am? But they're just like, hey, can you talk to this guy? It was on Periscope. Remember that?
Oh, wow.
A weird live stream app, Twitter tried. That was like, it was just, the whole thing was awkward. The girl running it was just some young girl running the phone for this T-Mobile or something. And she would be like, okay, wait, oh, it's going. Just go. It'd be like live to 10,000 people on accident. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're here. But yeah, that's when we met. And I really appreciated that.
Heck yeah, man. You know, speaking of red carpets, are red carpets not the weirdest thing in the entire world? Especially if you're not like one of the A-list artists. Every interview that you're in, you just see the people who are interviewing you looking over you, trying to make sure they're not being missed by one of the big artists. And that's very funny to think about.
Yeah. When Tim, for sure. Wait, do we lose him?
No, it's still uploading.
He's just a little behind, maybe.
Hey, can you hear us, Chris?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
I hear him. Yeah, when I remember being there, Tim McGraw and Faith Hill strolled up, and then everyone was ignored. It was very much that.
Yeah.
But the few I've done, when I've been asked to, like, I'm there to make a Vine or a video or something, and they just, I think the default is they just take your photo if you're on the red carpet just in case.
Yeah.
So I'm up there, like, trying, I mean, I don't, I hit you with the smolder? I don't know what to do, but there's some weird photos of me on red carpets randomly. Which
really?
Is good, yeah.
Getty Images? We talking,
yeah, man.
Talking Getty?
I'm on some. I got some Getty images out there.
Wow.
Let's go.
I haven't Getty.
The weirdest, Derek. Google.
Yeah.
Will Chris be able to see this?
I could share it with him.
Yeah. Google my name, and like, I swear, the first image that pops up is a weird red carpet photo I took. Yes. At some country music awards.
Let me see it.
I'm like 19 in this or something, man. Look what I'm wearing. I remember the first time I got asked, I went to it was like a mom and pop store where like my parents would buy suits in our town. They'd be like, he's going to the red carpet. What should he wear? As if I was styled by Eugene in Edmond, Oklahoma. But that's it, baby.
That's incredible.
So
looking at that photo, looks like a guy that loves Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like it does. I mean, I just like this shirt kind of looks like a country shirt.
Yeah, no, it's incredible.
I'm just dressed like I'm going to like a fraternity dinner or something.
I like that Google awesome. Shows kind of the three stages of you. It's like your first country music, mm-hmm. your first CMAs, your stand-up comedy, and then the birth of your son.
Yeah,
those are kind
that
of
is
the three.
Kind of a nice, tells the story. But speaking of birth of a child, Chris, I got to hang out with you recently because you're in Kansas City. We played some golf. You got two kids under two?
Two kids under two.
What's that like, man? Should I do that?
I would not recommend it.
Okay.
I would not recommend it. No, it's honestly, as you know, been the biggest blessing, but also the most exhausting thing I've ever been a part of. I think I'll look back on it in 5 years from now and be thankful that I made it through this very difficult time, and the kids are best friends and they're playing together all the time. That's when it will become a lot easier. But yeah, it is not for the faint of heart. It is one of the hardest things, or probably the hardest thing I've ever done, times a million.
I agree.
Man, that sounds awesome.
It is humbling, man. Because yeah, I'm sure you felt the same. I was like, I'm out here touring and stuff, and I feel like I'm working hard. Like, bring on a kid. I was like, man. Why do some people do this?
Yeah,
it's wild.
It changes everything. There's no doubt about that. Obviously for the better, but it's an adjustment. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I come in off the road on Sundays exhausted, and Lauren's exhausted, and it's time for her to take a break from the kid. So there's just never a break.
Yeah. So, yeah, because when I get home from tour, I'm tired and like Katie, does Lauren straight up, she's like, Chris, you just kick your feet up and relax. I know you've worked hard.
Is yes.
that what happens?
She does the complete opposite.
That was a shock for me the first time I came back from touring when she had a baby, and she just threw him at me. She's like, what? I was like, oh, No rest. Here we go. Yeah,
well, this kid's not mine.
What do you, so you have two boys. What's y'all want a girl or y'all team boy?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm definitely team boy, but I know Lauren wants a girl eventually. I just, every time she asked if we should have another, my answer is no, but that's because I'm so exhausted from the first two. So we'll see how that goes. I just slobbered all over myself, but yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Just exhausted, drooling. And
meth mouth.
Yeah. How about y'all? Do you want more?
She's wants more too. And I it's one of my go-to things. She loves when I say this, when it's really tired or we're struggling or whatever. I'm like, we just have one. You want several more of these? How are we going to do this when we're at our like lowest? But I know people figure it out, but she doesn't love when I say that. But I grew up with just one sister. All my family mostly just had two kids, cousins, two. Mm-hmm. That's what I always thought I'd do, but she's got four siblings. So she's all like, it's so fun. There's so many. I was like, well, you didn't raise them. You know,
yeah.
Your parents are lunatics, I guess, but.
So I know we'll Lauren see. Had, Lauren has, or her parents had four kids. So she's got three other brothers and sisters. I do not. And one in fact is here at the house right now. I told him I was doing a podcast with you, and he was like, "No way, dude! I'm a huge fan of his." I was just at a show in Boise.
Oh, cool. Oh no. Was he confused with John Crist, or was he like my show in Boise 2 years ago, or did he just go to John Crist?
I'll have to ask. He's right over there, but he's got his headphones on. I'll have to ask him.
I believe in him. Boise is cool. We'll get back there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe he just has a bad scope of how time works.
Just saw him.
Oh, man. Whoa, that was probably, 21, 22 months ago?
That guy must have kids. Yeah. That's what that is.
That's too bad. Chris, I'm looking at your tour schedule right now, and I want to know, like, so your next three shows are in three, like, very different type venues. You've got a casino resort, a brewery, and then the Washington State Fair. Let's talk venues. Which ones are we most excited about? Which ones? I've never performed in a brewery before. How do those usually go?
The one outside of San Diego, I believe it's in like El Cajon or something like that. It's just right outside San Diego. But casino shows, I don't want to speak negatively on them because some of them can be great. Some of them can be hard just from a crowd. Because a lot of times.
Because they're like on death's door, a lot of the casino high rollers. Yeah. Tough to get them going.
Roll right in off the slots.
Yeah, they got their oxygen tanks and they're ready to party, man.
They just hear music happening. And so a lot of the casinos will allow people to go watch the show for free. Obviously, they want to bring in as many people as they can to gamble. So as artists, you usually take casino shows as for what they're worth. You know, they pay well, and you just get in there and you do it. Some you're surprised by. Some you're surprised by in a different way.
Oh, yeah. Every entertainer knows casino shows suck, but I love them because I love all the other parts. And we have to say, the Vegas ones were good.
They were good. It was a very, very good crowds this past weekend.
Shout out Vegas. They were, I think a lot of my actual fans showed up, and then the other people there were having a good time. But I've done some casino shows. About 5 minutes in, as I'm sure. You probably play the first like verse of a song, and you're just like,
do you know how the night's going to go?
Right. As comedians, I get up there, the first joke I tell, I go, ooh, next hour is going to be tough. Like, is that the same thing as a musician?
Yeah, I think, honestly, it would be even harder for you because I can at least stand up there and just play music. Like, I'm not trying to make somebody laugh. And if they want to vibe to the music, they can. If they don't, then, yeah, it sucks. But you find a way to get through it. And I'm assuming you're probably the same exact way, right?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, comedy,
just grind through it.
You just grind. Yeah, I just know, like, I'm just going to grit my teeth and we're going to go. But yeah, it's tough as in comedy. Music, you could at least, they're like, maybe they're enjoying it quietly. You're like, mm-hmm. okay, no one's enjoying this comedy for sure. Yeah.
And then, yeah, I have to fly from San Diego over to St. Louis, and it's actually a show for the Jays, so the big hockey team there.
Oh, okay.
Booked me to play, and I don't know if it's a, I think it may be a private event for them of some kind, so I don't really know what to expect for that one, to be quite honest with you.
So as comedians too, you hear a lot about the private gigs are a lot of times a nightmare, especially with comedy, because it's like you'll get booked by the CEO's wife's a fan, so they hire you, and it's like their employees like are all Asian, and you're like, I don't think this is, we're from two different worlds here. I don't think this is gonna work. Like, as whenever you book for a booked for a private gig, a lot of times you're like, oh man, this could get weird. Or are they usually pretty all right?
Man, they can be hit or miss. I did one recently where it was a lot of older gentlemen and only about 50 of them, and you know, that's not necessarily my demographic. So when I'm playing when I'm playing songs like "Take Back Home, Girl," and,
those old men are like, "Yeah, back in the day, man."
Yeah, you know, it's low energy. Most of them were probably, who the crap is this guy? those can be hard, but some of them are a lot of fun.
That's good. And what about, I mean, sorry, so Trey and I have also done a county fair show before. I'm going to guess.
I have a fair on the resume.
I'm going to guess that country music does better at a fair than our version of comedy does at a fair. Those are probably pretty fun for you.
The fairs, some can be hit or miss, but most of them always turn out awesome. I love going to a small town fair, and just all of them are different at the end of the day. But there's some great country music bands that come out to the fairs. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think if the fair, if they want me back, I might just say maybe call Chris Lane. I think that's, as much as I like to do a stand-up comedy with like pigs off to the right, like I don't know if that's the right avenue for that form of entertainment. But
I tell you what, I milked a daggone cow at a fair about a year ago, and that was pretty daggone cool.
Yeah, there you go. Let's see. That's you. That's
was that pre-show? Was that post-show? During show?
It's pre-show, but it'd have been a lot more entertaining if I'd have done it on stage in front of everybody.
And there's so much meth at the small town fairs. Right. So you gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Put that on the rider out there.
On the rider.
Methamphetamine, please.
Imagine
wait,
let's
talk riders. Chris, what's on your rider? What's your go-to? What can you not live without on there?
If you're listening, a rider is what the artist requires the venue supply them in their green room. The list of things. What's on your rider, man? Good, weird, normal?
I mean, I keep it pretty simple. So we always got to have the Califia Farms Blonde Roast Cold Brew Coffee. I'm a big cold brew guy.
Okay.
And a lot of places we play, especially if it's in the middle of nowhere, there's not a cold brew. You're not going to find cold brew anywhere close. So I just keep that on the rider so we always have it. You know, vodka, Casamigos, and a whiskey is always out there as well. Gotta have those for the pregame. Outside of that, just
Bud Light, I mean, or
Bud Light.
Oh, I didn't say that. Get those fares out of, they'll be asking you back, man.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I keep it pretty simple. What do you have on yours, Trey?
That's
what does a comedian do?
I was always really proud of, like, couldn't care less, man. Hey, you give me water, I'm easy, I'm good. But you do it long enough, you know, you start to be like, okay, it'd be nice to have some of these things that really help me out here. So ours began as just like, give me some local IPAs, because that was my thing. And
you're an IPA guy?
I had my phase. I feel like the mid-20s is IPA territory. I'm officially out. It messes up my stomach. It's too much now. I would just like a nice light beer. I don't want to drink a 500 calorie milkshake beer anymore. I have my time.
Yeah.
So, big Bud Light guy.
Yeah. Just so much. The writer, long drinks. Have you had a long drink? Ever heard of that?
A long drink?
It's this new brand of kind of like seltzer vibes. They wouldn't want me to say that. It's a they were a sponsor. So, it's a gin based canned cocktail.
Oh, kinda wow. Like,
anyway, they're refreshing. So we've toured all summer. So I'd get that. So that was a little bougie because, like most people, they're like, what's that? And they got to track it down. So that was in the green room. And
then Tina! I cannot find these long
Where's
drinks?
My long drink?
Oh, yeah, long drinks.
And I was trying to be healthy. So I switched it up and we had just like veggie tray, so like beef jerky. And then I started getting bougie. Now I'm requesting a specific brand of beef jerky. That's when I started getting crap from the crew. Like, okay, Jack Links ain't good enough.
Yeah.
So
Jack Links.
You start to get a little picky. I'm afraid I'm getting there, but.
There you go. So let me ask you this, because I know how I handle my pregame for my shows and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
From your side of things, do you have to have a cocktail before you go on stage, or do you go up there completely sober?
Great question. I'm a huge fan of the pre-show drink, of course. With Jake's not, you don't?
Not usually.
Not usually.
I got to be feeling crazy.
I'm feeling crazy. That is a crazy moment. Jake's in the green room. The waitress like, you want to do anything? You're like, margarita. You're like, oh, Jake's. Okay, Jake's crazy. Oh, I love to have one or two long drinks before I get up there on stage. And in Vegas, I feel like Vegas, I don't know, the Saturday show, because I was like, kind of wanted to, it was fun, of course, but I was like, man, all my buddies, they were supportive. Like, do you want us here? I'm like, no, just, you were here last night. Just go gamble. So I did bring a little cocktail on stage. I was like, it's Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, right? And then as I the end of the show, I was like, thanks, Vegas. I turned around and knocked in the stool and it exploded everywhere on the stage. And I was like, all right, I've brought a drink on stage maybe 5 times and I've spilled it 3 of the 5 times.
Can't so be
that's
trusted.
Mainly why I shouldn't do it. But what about you? You like to have a couple whiskeys before?
Yeah. I've been doing these transfusions lately.
Ooh.
Which, you know, is my drink of choice out on the golf course. And because I play golf before every show, I just try to carry that over into the show. And it's just an easy pre-gamer. Gets me in a good spot to go out there and have a good time and enjoy and just take the edge off a little bit.
Sure. Playing those fairs, man of the people.
Yeah. I think now, let's just keep talking tour life. Chris, when it comes to tour outfits, are you picking them out? I know Trey and his Instagram, they like to give Trey a hard time that his wife is picking out his outfits.
Yeah.
Me personally, I've started doing a joke about how I only wear stripes. So I've really pigeonholed myself to where I have to wear stripes now. Mm-hmm. Curious about your onstage attire.
Yeah, man. You know what? I used to put a lot more thought into it in the beginning of my career than I do now. I'm a little more plain. I don't go quite as drastic as I used to. I think the older I get, the less I feel like I can pull off anything drastic. But yeah, I just try to keep it classic. You know, jeans and a t-shirt, or jeans and a thermal, kind of like I got on now.
Yeah.
Maybe a button up. I mean, I feel like in country, it's a lot more chill than I guess it is in the pop world, where they were the most psychotic things I've ever seen.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You came a long way. When we met 6 or 7 years ago, you were in the pop getup. Now look at you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I had the
salt of the earth now.
Salt of the earth. Now.
I used to do the same, where I was like, I'm trying to buy all these cool shirts or stuff, and then I was just like, man, it gets exhausting. So I just go black jeans.
Yeah,
one of my pairs of sneakers, and then I always a short sleeve, because I learned too. I would do some more like cool jackets or something, but I get hot up there, so I just short sleeve button up, and that's what I do every time. simple. And now I'm starting to get made fun of. Now they're turning on me. They're like, oh, so there's Trey, another Chandler Bing shirt. And so now I don't know if I appreciate that, but.
Yeah. Trey, whenever you're on stage, I've always wondered this about comedians. When you play off of the crowd, are you doing that in the moment, or is that something that you pre-plan out before you go out there? Like, do you have a guy that walks on stage to put your mic down and like scope the crowd and say, hey, this would be something that you could play off of this guy or this girl or whatnot? Or are you just doing it all in the moment?
Great question. No. And no, I mean, maybe there's some weird out there who does that, but pretty much every single comedian, they are just truly riffing. So, and it's amazing how, because I remember before I started, or I'd watch like Whose Line Is It Anyway? And you'd be like, there's no way these guys are making this up.
Yeah, it's got to be scripted.
But then you just get better, like with anything, you get better. So you do it enough. And, you know, I'm not too much of a crowd work guy. Jake is a lot more, but it's truly a total shot in the dark every night. You just talk to this person. What are they going to give you? What are you going to say?
Yeah, scary, but it's fun. You just ask a completely open-ended question. I will say the closest it gets to ever being scripted is when you'll ask someone a question and they answer it the exact same way that someone has answered before. And so you're like, oh, I'll just do the same jokes I did in Cleveland or whatever. True. So that will happen very rarely. But
yeah, there are a lot of times I'll do a bit about homeschoolers and I'll ask a guy like, it's like I'm homeschooled and I'll ask him a question. And it is like homeschoolers, 90% of them all answer this question is kind of the same. They're all total dorks, number one. Number two, yeah, they had this similar upbringing. So you do get to hone in a little on your crowd work, but there's a randomness to it. People go really rogue.
Yeah, we used to, our first tour, we would bring someone up on stage and do like an improvised song to them, and people love to ask afterwards, like, was that a plant? Did you know her? And I was like, I mean, no, we are not working that hard on this. We
we were just figuring it out, man.
Yeah, just improvising.
That's pretty impressive.
Thank you, man. Thanks for asking. All right, pivoting a little bit, you mentioned your wife, Lauren. A lot of people follow Lauren. She's got a lot of followers, too. Power couple. Hey. Well, I weirdly met Lauren and hung out with her like 5 years ago at
McDonald's?
It was Coachella. It was the red carpet of festivals, Coachella.
Oh.
Yeah, we were there with McDonald's influencer stuff.
Wow.
Small world, but...
Would McDonald's be what they are today without you and Lauren?
No,
I don't know.
Nope. Not at all.
They would not.
And, they would not. So, you know, a lot of people know her from The Bachelor, and I have always loved The Bachelor, and now The Golden Bachelor is the way. Are you and Lauren going to watch The Golden Bachelor?
You know what? Yes, if we can ever get the kids to go down early enough.
That's right.
I feel like now we're like, we get the kids to bed and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to go to sleep right now because I know it's going to be an early morning. But yeah, I think if we can find some time to do that, I'd love to watch it. I'm interested to see how that goes.
I cannot wait. Did you see all the promos where all of them were just like, I just love pickleball. They're all like, I need a pickleball partner. I need a pickleball. Did you see that?
Pickleball. I haven't seen it.
It's amazing. I cannot wait to watch it.
Yeah, there's going to be some weird, like, old people drama. Like, I think medication is going to be, a big part of it, probably. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. So the girls in the mansion, they mix up the mansion. Surely one story.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, there'll be some nice little new wrinkles to it.
I feel like there's going to be far less drama, though, because it's not... The girls won't... I can't imagine the girls are going to be as catty with each other as... the younger girls are, and I feel like that's the funny part of The Bachelor to me.
You wouldn't think so, but I mean, we've all seen a number of Karens, and they're in that age range, so
that is true.
It seems like some of them get crazier as they get older.
Yeah,
that's true.
I believe in The Bachelor like team to like find some of the craziest old women. Like they're gonna like scour the earth to find
some
interesting old ladies.
They are. No one works harder than Bachelor producers.
Yeah, that's true.
No one does. So I know
that is true.
Did you ever have you performed on The Bachelor?
I did, man.
You did, right? Yeah.
It was, I want to say, Nick Vile season.
Did you sing on like a date or something? It was like they had a one-on-one date and they're like, and now Chris Lane is performing. Was that what it was?
Yes. Yeah, sure was.
That's a weird private gig, huh?
Public. Yeah, it honestly was funny because I got to play basically a whole concert for all the people that were in there, and then I guess when Nick and whoever he was on the date with that night came in. I mean, it's all obviously very set up as it has to be in that moment. But yeah, they kind of get up on this platform and they're like, "All right, Chris, play your freaking song now." And I just start playing it. And I think you got to run it a couple different times, which is funny because it doesn't come off that way on TV.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Huh. Like, again,
the magic of TV. Yes.
Yeah.
The magic of TV. But yeah, that was fun. That was fun, man. It was a great experience for me. And
obviously great exposure. That's our next goal.
Oh, comedy. Yeah. You know what?
The Comedy on the Bachelor. Your private date.
First date.
Comedian. What's going on out there?
You should do it, bro. That would be fun.
Definitely would never do. That would not be a good one. Out there with a fair, man.
Well, hey, you can sing, though. So you should go on there and sing.
There we go.
There you go. I'm going to be doing Chris Lane covers only.
Yeah, only.
Chris, how many dogs we got on the property back there? I feel like I'm hearing some commotion.
We have two dogs who is, I don't know what he is looking at. Pooh Bear. What are you doing?
We're getting a little glimpse into this is very country. This is nice for the brand. Just out on the land.
That's right. Look how handsome this fella is. Come here, bud.
Oh, yeah.
Look how handsome he is.
That's a good boy. What is that? What are we working on? Is that a lab?
No, he's actually an Australian cattle dog mixed with beagle. And then here comes the other one.
You almost had it.
No, it's actually not either of those at all.
You almost had it, dog.
Australian cattle dog with beagle. Wow.
Second guess.
Yeah, I would have had it eventually.
This is the most white thing you could ever do, but we got DNA tests done for both of our dogs.
Oh, wow.
That's how we knew that so well. Spent some good money on that.
That needs to be your next bit. Your next video that you shoot is
23andMe and the dogs.
Yeah.
Yes.
This one, he's susceptible to leukemia, we found out.
Yeah, yes.
Home for the best.
We found out our dog, Chloe, who is the pit terrier, she got some boxer in her. But it says she has this gene mutation that is susceptible, I can't even talk, susceptible to obesity. And she doesn't...
Look out.
Oh, no.
No, and it's so true. Like, all she cares about is food. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. So... apparently she has something in her that doesn't tell her when she's full. So she will literally eat herself to death if we allow her to do that.
Yeah. It's just a very American dog. Yeah.
That is
really assimilated.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, I'm pretty close to that myself. Yeah.
The 23andMe on the dog is pretty awesome. I don't blame you for doing it. Respect.
It would be interesting.
I would be curious.
It's a fun game.
Yeah, I haven't even done it on myself, but I would do it for a dog.
Yeah, have you and Lorna even done it on yourself or only the dogs?
Yeah, we did do it on ourselves because Lauren has some gene that athletes have for her muscle composition of some sort. And I'm like, well, good Lord, okay. I hope our kids get that.
Let's go. Fancy DNA. Yeah, I need to do my. What are you, Irish or German? What's the most you got in there?
I think it was Irish was the most. I'm trying to remember. I did it about a year or two ago. I can't even remember everything it said on there, but it was it's interesting to look at.
Yeah, man.
Any Australian cattle dog in there?
Yeah, I've got a little Australian cattle dog in me.
Love it, man.
So does Lauren.
Yeah, there it is.
Nice.
Well, Lauren's got a little beagle in her.
Little beagle, yeah. Just the howling and the things my wife does, too. all right, Chris, we appreciate you, man. We know you're a busy guy. Everyone, go see Chris at your nearest fair or casino or wherever
baby.
He's at.
That's right.
But no, he puts on a great show. Stream his music. You got some new music coming out soon?
Yes, I do. October 20th is the big day. I'm so freaking excited.
Congrats.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
I'm stoked to hear it, man. Yeah, follow him everywhere, Instagram, and appreciate you, man. We'll be in touch. Thanks for coming on the pod.
Heck yeah. Thank y'all so much for having me.
All right, that was Chris Lane. Thank you so much, Chris. That was a lot of fun. Let's wrap up today's episode. How about some fan videos? Send us your fan videos and anything you want to tell us at our email. correct@treykennedy.com. Derek, who we got today?
Difficult Rectees. Thing as far as your... Hey guys, I just wanted to make a quick video saying how much I appreciate the podcast.
Thanks.
I'm a former sheltered kid. Let's and all of the sheltered kid content has been so great. I find it so relatable. I was really, really sheltered. My dad was a youth pastor. We were homeschooled.
The spaghetti
all
straps
the stuff. We didn't have
enough
to eat
for
or sheltered
kid. Don't
pretty
look
much
Jake.
The most extreme kind of sheltered kid that you can be. But when I was like 14, my parents started doing meth, and that really changed things.
That's not very sheltered.
What?
From like really, really sheltered to really, really unsheltered.
She raised my Chris
very
Lane?
Quickly. It was
what?
A culture shock for me, and entering the public school system in itself was terrifying.
Did I miss you?
But I'm wondering, really changed things. So when I was like 14, my parents started doing meth, and that really changed things. So
Common Core meth.
Okay, keep going. I wanted to make
Old
sure.
Old school math or Common Core?
I'm going
to be like, are you planning on being sheltered parents? I know that you guys said in your last episode you want them to be in public school, but I'm just curious as to, you know, what your ideas are. Also, I have a question for Katie. I'm wondering, as mom, what you found to be the most difficult thing as far as your motherhood journey has gone, and what's been the most enjoyable thing. I have a 3-year-old, so I love hearing your take on it, and watching you guys be parents is really great. Also, I was wondering, what has been the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you while performing, Jake and Trey? I would love to hear what kind of embarrassing moments you've had. So I know there's a few questions, but again, thanks for the content.
Okay, thank you for the submission.
Wow. So open about math. That's
She's
crazy.
Sheltered kid. She asked how we want to raise our kid. It's funny she says that, because what I told Katie is, not 14 with her, but when he turns 16, I'd like to do meth. And kind of abandoned him.
Yeah. Once he can drive.
Right. Then he's,
I'm going to get out.
Kind of like good.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can finally try that sweet, sweet meth. That's, I'm sorry to hear
story.
That.
Yeah. Youth pastor turned meth.
I've heard it's. I have a barber who is a recovered meth addict, and he's like, meth is awesome.
It's good.
It's good. So don't try it, because I think people really like it.
Yeah. Don't do it, guys.
Don't do it, guys. Shelter kids out there. That's what's funny about being a shelter kid. People are like, you know, the LA people, all that. You ever done drugs? You could put a gun in my head and be like, go find drugs. I'd be like, I have no idea how to do that.
I would be so nervous to ask. What do I do? Just approach a stranger?
You just go
just
under
assume?
Bridges?
Yeah.
And just ask around?
I would be terrified.
I don't know any way to get it.
I would definitely mess up the lingo.
Mm-hmm.
You guys doping? You guys...
Hey. Come here. You guys skating? Do you know what I mean? We speed skating?
You guys using the ickly prickly? Am I getting somewhere? No? Okay.
Can I get Paulo Ono? We skating that fast? I can do some meth. It's the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. You think you snort meth? Maybe you can. I don't know. Never. Not that. I don't know. What's the one's the spoon?
Guys, we thinking heroin? Just me
thinking of sipping Mac on some of that sweet meth. Smoke a little cocaine.
She had a question for Katie as well.
That was really tough
Katie,
to answer.
Sorry, yeah. She asked Katie and her mother her motherhood journey, which I think just was like a nice way to be like the whole process. The worst part was the ripping, probably.
The tearing and
I think that's what she's asking, yeah.
Like the just the damage.
Just the damage.
Yeah.
A lot less HP for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So And yeah, she's not here because of that motherhood stuff. Her hormones have been like a lot, so I just told her to not come. So that she hasn't liked that either. That's been the hardest part for her motherhood journey for me.
Has been her just being bonkers upstairs and having to sit certain plays out. Uh-huh. Yeah.
she's traveling back with Thomas from a girls' trip, but she was, it's so funny because now all the Vegas trip, 90% of the guys are married. And so me and two guys who live here and all of our wives went to the same trip together separately.
Fun.
And we all were flying to Vegas and we all got a text at the same time from each of our wives that just said, The flight I was just on was so hot. It was so miserable.
Multiple people got that text.
I'm like, guys, Katie just texted me, just updated me on that flight was uncomfortable. Did you guys get that? Like, yeah, we both did. I was like, if you were on a hot flight, would you tell a soul? They're like, no, probably not. I thought it was so funny.
That is funny. What else did she ask? How much were we going to shelter our kids? Oh, most embarrassing moment while performing.
Oh, that's good.
For embarrassing moment on stage, first thing that comes to mind is every now and then I'll just like, it always sucks when you screw up talking because it's probably ruining a punchline. But I think that's just kind of a bummer. It's like, okay, they're not going to laugh at that. But what's embarrassing is when like a little bit of speech impediment comes out. I remember one specifically, this is like, you know, 2 years ago, but asking like, you've been married, wow, 35 years. Like, what's the secret? How do you do it? And he said, tremendous patience. And when you're doing crowd work, you always repeat their answers so someone else can hear it. And I just, I don't know, I just go, oh, okay, tremendous patience.
Tremendous patience. Tremendous patience.
Oh, sorry, that was brain burp. Tremendous patience. I just couldn't say it. And I was like, this is so embarrassing. And they were laughing at me for not a good reason.
That, I don't remember what, but I haven't done it in a long time, but that is the worst ever when you've set up in the punchline and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna get that. Because that's the punchline. And then no one laughs. Like, yeah, I can't stutter through it. That ruins it.
Mm-hmm, I get it.
That's the worst. Most embarrassing. Gosh, if I had a time, we would do all the stand up where I've truly just embarrassed myself. That's what's nice about comedy is you can always play it off to some degree.
If it's, yeah, funny, embarrassing, then it's fine.
Yeah, I think the most embarrassed I've been on stage is I've had to learn. And I think it was early on. Nowadays, you get to a point it's kind of impossible to get embarrassed because you just kind of joke off anything. You get better. But early on, there's like a girl up front. We were on a comedy club and I mistaked like a mom and a sister for like, or something else. Oh, it was just like, two girls the same age. I was like, you're her mom? Something rude like that.
She's where like, it's no. Like,
no. And I was too nice and early on where instead of like, well, making fun of her more, I was just like,
I'm so sorry.
And I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
But
we've each said
that's kind of the superpower. I don't feel like I can even get embarrassed anymore. You put yourself through so much humiliation doing public comedy that eventually I just can't. I've thought about this the other day. Like if I was swimming somewhere and someone and like somehow like my britches came off, I don't think it'd bother me at all. People saw my biscuits.
Because you've done so much stand-up comedy.
Because I've just embarrassed myself so much to my core that I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. That's fine.
We're building up an immunity to like,
yes,
like social anxiety. Where it's none of it matters anymore.
Doesn't.
I tried to do a 9/11 joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, clearly care. I don't care anymore.
All. Okay, let's play one, maybe two more. Thanks for that. Don't do math.
Hey, Jake, Trey, Katie, Derek, and Thomas, of course. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I've actually been listening since day one.
Let's go.
So yeah, back when Trey was doing it all alone, I loved the podcast ever since. You guys are all hilarious. And I love the addition of Katie and Thomas. I have four kids, so babies are always my favorite topic. Anyways, I'm Kayla from Salt Lake City. Hope to see you guys come here. My question for you is, who growing up was your favorite actor, comedian? Mine is Jim Carrey. Love him. I think he's hilarious. I love his movies. I'm 35, so I don't know if he was like before you guys' time. I'm old. But I think he's funny. I'm curious who you guys either. It sounds like you guys are more sheltered than me. But who did you like? Who made you laugh? Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you for that fun submission for kids. Yeah. When are you coming to Utah? We're going to come.
Run away.
I wasn't allowed to watch anything. So I was allowed to watch Every Loves Raymond, Ray Romano.
Yeah.
Final Answer.
That's solid.
Love that show. And he's doing a Vegas residency. That's my dream, dude.
I mean, we got to taste it. We did a 2-day mini residency in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Not having to get on a bus, the same hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. I honestly might think I would choose Jim Carrey up until like probably high school. And then if like high school is when Will Ferrell really hit his stride for the other 32-year-olds out there. Like that was really like he was just cranking out
Will Ferrell
old school,
sure.
Kicking and Screaming, Talladega Nights, Step Brothers. There were like 4 or 5 in a row where he was just like the king. So Will Ferrell in high school before that, like, yeah, maybe Chris Farley, Jim Carrey.
Kicking and Screaming all time. I need to watch that again soon.
Yeah.
If the pizza doesn't arrive, we're going to eat Byung. So. That's so good. When he's like, the bird, I think he gave everyone a finch bird. He's like, I think the finches have salmonella. I may have inadvertently poisoned your children. All time. Okay, one more.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Wait, bite of the juice box, man.
Yeah. No way.
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Kaysen. I love this podcast and the Ghost Runners podcast.
Let's go.
It really helps me get through these long hours at work. I had an experience this week that I thought you guys would enjoy. So me and my wife went to the OBGYN. She's 15 weeks pregnant with our first child. And we've been going there for a minute, so we know everybody. We're comfortable. But I guess because it's a random Thursday in September, they decided to change the entire staff. And we don't know anybody when we walk in, which is fine. But we get back to our room, and this new physician walks in, and she looks at us. We're a young couple, both wearing wedding rings and practically holding hands. And I guess she decides to look at us and say, are you guys brother and sister? You guys look alike. And we're like, no, which was weird. But, I mean, we were in Alabama, so I just decided to give her a benefit of the doubt. I don't know what she sees every day. But we get done with that. It was weird. And we go to schedule our follow-up appointment, which normally takes, like, average 45 seconds. Not today. The oldest woman alive is behind the computer, and she is constantly complaining that it's broken, the system doesn't work, and just randomly puts in, and what if China steals all this information? What are we going to do? And after a couple minutes, I just decide to mistakenly crack a joke. I'm like, yeah, if Xi Jinping gets my wife's next anatomy scan, this country's going to hell in a handbasket. Quit. She did not like that whatsoever.
She's like, wait, is that possible?
I got a short lecture on the seriousness of the China situation, and then if I care about my son's future, I'll look into it and stop making jokes. But as long as he's healthy, I'm fine. Again, love what you guys do. You rock. Peace and love.
Wow. Thank I would love to know what he does.
Yeah, he's out there. He's working a real job, man.
Librarian.
Slaving away out
professor.
There.
Professor.
Getting his hands dirty. Yeah. That,
brother yeah, and sister.
Just every old, yeah, a lot of good stuff. You need to keep going to that LBGYN. I went to mine. It was boring as heck. Nice to know you had some entertainment there. Just being in there together, like, all right, guys, that's the heartbeat. You guys related, by the way?
You see that? That's the head. Your mom, your collective mom, is going to be so proud of you guys.
Yeah.
I assume you share it.
Head, everything looks normal, which, you know, obviously we were unsure about since your brother and sister. Only two arms. So grateful. You know what that is? If the three-armed kids, China loves them. They worship them.
Yeah, you can do that.
It's not funny.
That is a great experience. You guys brother and sister at the OB.
And just having a super old lady work in the front desk who just tells everyone, like, China's coming for us. So
that's so fun. I mean, even before that, just like an old person at a computer saying the system is down.
Because of China.
I'm done thinking that's cute. I'm getting pretty sick of old people. The computers are down. Computer's never gone down. How are other people's computers always going down?
Yeah. It's just offline. Everything's offline. It's down. Yeah. That is frightening. There's probably so many old people she probably walks down every day, like every piece of technology everywhere. The rogue jet in the sky. She's like, China took control.
Yeah, China's
going to drive it right into
clinics.
What old person, what would be like their worst fear for a Chinese drone to drive into like Andy Wayne Newton's house? Or?
Yeah. Who is kind of their king or queen?
Country kitchen.
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart. Yeah. She's kind of a gangster though.
Yeah. It'd have to be someone more more Southern, more Republican.
Paula Deen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't come for Paula.
Don't come for Paula. Paula, though, if she got hit by a drone, she's so much butter and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to have so much margarine in the house that she'd be fine.
It's like those egg dropping contests. Like, if you could drop it around, right, like lard or fat, that egg is not going to crack.
Nope.
Neither will the drone.
Yep. Eggs don't crack. Black don't crack. Don't say that around Paula Deen, though. All right. Well, thank you guys again. Like, subscribe, get tickets. Back on the road all year. TreyKennedy.com/tour. Love you guys. And we'll see you next week.
Cool.
Correct opinions. Correct opinions.